At Breezeline, great connections come in pairs. Switch to fast fiber-powered internet for just $19.99 per month and get a free line for a year when you pair with Mobile. It's the perfect pair for the perfect price. Get the reliability you need and the value you want. Enjoy fast speeds for work or play. Connect at home or on the go and save every month. Don't miss this special offer on internet and mobile. Visit breezeline.com today.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Off the ball, GAA.
That was a revenge mission in full flight. The only fortunate thing about it for Cork was that it was in a game of no consequence.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you are welcome to episode 77 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball. I'm John Duggan. Johnny Ward's off this week. I'm delighted to be joined by Tom Malone of the Irish Field. How are you, Tom?
Yeah, very good, John. Very good. Obviously, you know, I feel like I'm joining with you in the celebrations this week. You're
jump on the bandwagon, Tom.
Absolutely. Jump on the Spurs bandwagon. Why not? No, it's a great week. Really like, great for you, obviously. I know I'm really looking forward to the weekend. First Irish Classics of the season. Weather's been great. Look, it might break a little come the weekend, but a bit of rain might not do any harm just to make that grass grow.
First half of the pod, folks, each week free to air. The second part exclusively for members. Be sure to sign up to get the whole thing by going to offtheball.com/join. This week for members, we're going to focus on the weekend's action. I suppose the shoulder races at the Curragh, not the big ones, the other races, the other group twos and threes, and also action at Haydock on Saturday. And we'll have Tom's charity bet as well. So please do subscribe to the Racing Pod. So the Guineas weekend at the Curragh, Tom. The Curragh to me always just seems like a very straightforward track. No excuses. Is that something you'd agree with? You've ridden work on it?
Yeah, yeah. And look, that's things a lot of trainers would say. And it's, I suppose you kind of see it borne out as well in the results of classics. You know, there's kind of, it's very rare you'd have a situation where a horse gets beaten. You're like, oh, we ended up in a really bad position because of the track. You can't really blame that. I mean, ironically, the one track that's probably the tightest in the Curragh might be the Derby track, because it's sort of like it's a separate track and it does take a little bit more riding than the rest. But something like the Guineas, where it's a straight mile, big, wide open expanse of ground. I mean, if something goes wrong there, it's definitely not the course's fault.
I was looking through past Guineas winners, some memories. Grundy in 1975 would win the Derby, didn't win in Newmarket, but won out of an Irish Guineas, won an Irish Guineas. And the sire of Grundy was the same sire that foaled Shergar, a great nephew, which is interesting. Yeah, that was an interesting kind of fact about him. Sadler's Wells is one of the greatest ever stallions we've had. 14 times was champion sire, sired Galileo and Monsieur and Istabrak as well. And Sadler's Wells won the Irish 2000 Guineas in 1984.
Yeah, and it's like you'll see that a lot, because it does feel like it's a, you know, maybe not as much right now, but there's a lot of serious stallion. It's a serious stallion maker's race. And you look, Kingman won it. Where did Kingman win it in 2014? And obviously Field of Gold is by Kingman, and the other Judmont horse as well is also by Kingman. See, Windlord is by Dubawi. Dubawi won the race in the past.
2005, yeah.
You know, and lots of, and the thing is as well, I suppose the timing of the race is good because it gives horses another chance to kind of mature. We've covered it on the pod a fair bit, that difficulty of getting a horse ready that early in the season for Newmarket. Whereas, you know, you see now it looks a little bit more like the Coolmores and Judmonts of this world are certainly taking more of an interest in the French and Irish Guineas, just because you get those extra couple of weeks into these 3-year-olds. And so often, you know, the horse that gets beaten in Newmarket comes and wins at the Curragh, which could very easily happen
for
this weekend.
British Raiders in the 2000. The 1000 in the past, we've had Casey's win it in 1994, was owned by a colourful entrepreneur and gambler called Terry Ramsden, who had his brushes with the law at times. He bought this horse and had 50 grand by some accounts at 20 to 1, which is a million quid. So that was an interesting story. Ridgewood Pearl, John Ox in 1995 trained that one. She won the Breeders' Cup Mile at Belmont Park. Imagine was a winner of the Irish 1000. She would end up winning the Oaks, a lovely racehorse. Alpha Centauri, Jessica Harrington.
Yeah, she was brilliant. I mean, one of the most memorable for me was in the rain back in 2016 when Jet Setting beat Minding. And, you know, Jet Setting was trained by Adrian Keatley at the time, and they picked him up. They picked her up at a horse and training sale for relatively small money, and then sold her again at the Ascot sale for absolute fortunes. And she didn't win another Group One. She did win again after that, but she sure had a Group One in the book. But it was a great day. Although one of my distinct memories of it is Aidan O'Brien showing the press pack that Minding had hit herself on the stall. She'd obviously jumped slightly, and then she actually ended up slightly injuring herself in the course of the race and went down by a short head in the mud. But great day for Jet Setting, but obviously, you know, Minding turned out to be okay. So I think, you know, it wasn't a sad story in the end, but great for Adrian Keatley. And it was just sublime scenes on the day. I just remember it was bucketing rain and this horse winning. And like, obviously, you know, Adrian Keatley's moved to the UK now. He's one of those trainers who will never have another horse like that again, probably, or he's just hoping to have another horse like that one day in the future. But it was a magical day for him as a relatively local trainer as well at the time.
3:40 on Saturday at the Curragh, the Tattersall's Irish 2000 Guineas Group 1. A mile is the trip. The going has been obviously very good, but showers expected over the next couple of days. So we'll see who gets into the ground.
Weird, because in around Kildare and the Midlands, there have been spots of rain.
Yeah.
So like Maynooth was practically flooded, but the Curragh only got 2 or 3 mil. You know, so it's that balance, you know, The rain was so patchy, so the Curragh basically got almost no rain during the week, whereas very, very close by in Kill and Maynooth, they got masses of rain. So difficult. I wouldn't fancy being a clerk of the course, John. It's not a job for the faint
hearted. But are there any excuses to come?
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay.
No. Like, I mean, you know the ground is quick. They're going to put water on it to keep it safe. It'll be cooler over the course of the next few days. There might be 10 mil of rain over the course of the weekend. That's the kind of maximum. So, you're no excuse. You know, unless you want a soft ground horse, but you're in a classic. You know, it's a height of the summer.
Nine runners. We have a favourite here, Field of Gold, even money. Now, this horse won the Craven trial at Newmarket and then got pipped in the Newmarket Guineas over the same distance, a race from which Kieran Schumacher lost his job. Colin Keane now takes over. This is the Judmont colours, the kind of the pink and the green, the Dancing Brave colours. This is a redemption mission for the John Gosden trained horse, who is top of the ratings.
Yeah, and I think Kieran Schumacher is slightly hard done by. Some of the time analysis of the race in Newmarket puts it down as much to William Buick's brilliance as Kieran Schumacher's mistake. And maybe if Kieran Schumacher had been a bit more pig-headed about it and said, I've done nothing wrong, rather than come out on TV and say, oh, maybe I could have done this and maybe I could have done that. But look, I think connections minds were made up when the horse was beaten, especially the way he stayed on quite strongly. He didn't show an instant turn of foot coming out of the dip. And obviously that's what probably got him beaten in the end. But he should win this race. He really should win this race. I think at time of recording, this horse is even money. I'd be absolutely amazed if that horse goes off even money. You know, and you look at like John Gosden has literally done the same with the likes of, you know, yeah, Kingman's come here after being beaten in Newmarket and going to win this. He won it at odds on. You know, Native Trail was beaten in Newmarket, came here and won. It's a well-trodden path to, you know, have that run. And also it just makes him so much more battle hardened. I think Field of Gold wins. And I think the market on the race might not be spot on either. I think there are some definitely good betting angles if you like to play at big prices.
So go on. I mean, for example, Comanche Brave is a complete rank outsider. Like, he's what, 50 to 1. I was looking at him this morning and he was second behind Honorary Matisse over 7 furlongs at Leopardstown on reappearance.
Yeah.
Is he a no-hoper? He didn't seem to be a no-hoper.
No, he's not a no-hoper, but a horse now he has been trimmed up was Rashabar. He was 20s and 25s in the middle of the week, but all his form ties in with the best with the best of the three-year-olds, ties in with Henri Matisse, you know, second in the French Guineas. I don't think he's a sprinter. I think he's, you know, Power won a Coventry and came here and won an Irish 2000 Guineas. I just thought he was overpriced. I just thought, versus some of the others, I thought he's overpriced. But look, he's come into 14-1 now. And the other one is hot as hell.
Yeah, hot as hell. Like,
yeah, like...
Condition's no issue, right?
Lack conditions of a prep no run. Issue. Yeah, maybe. But like, he's clearly ready to run.
A mile winner, won at Doncaster, won at the Beresford Stakes over course and distance.
Yeah.
And if he has progressed, then he's definitely value.
Yeah. And like his 2-year-old form is absolutely exceptional. Like, yeah. It's rock solid. You know, he's running behind Henri Matisse. And why is he the same price as Expanded? Like, you know, or why is he the same price as, or a much bigger price than Cosmic Year, who's.
Well, Cosmic Year is all potential, isn't it?
Yeah. But like, that's what I mean. Like, you can't bet on potential. Like, you know, at least. I know Cosmic Year has had a run, but like Hot as Hell is 117 horse. Like he's the handicapper says he's half a stone better than the second favourite. I'm not saying he'll win, but I just think he looks like he's slightly overpriced. Slight concern maybe would be that Jessica Harrington isn't like banging in the winners. That would just be a tiny, tiny concern. You know, she's had two winners from the last 50 runners. That's not like, you know, it's not super hot. But yeah, I think he's overpriced. Those are two horses I just thought were overpriced, but I think the favourite should
win. What about Officer? I mean, the top connection is Aidan O'Brien. Ryan Moore out of Dubai, course and distance winner earlier in the month. Question is whether he's good enough, I suppose.
Yeah, I love Officer. I actually, you know, his maiden that he won on debut was, I remember at the time thinking, this is a very, very good maiden. Now, the horse at Jurors that finished second, Storm Piece, he has just run into a couple of times, but thrice has come out and won since. And then he was immediately after the race, he won in the Curragh the last day over the prep run in the Curragh. Aidan said, no, he's in the team now for the Irish 2000 Guineas. It looked like for a long while that Ryan wasn't going to ride this horse, but yeah, the 15-2 with Hills is a really good price about him.
Yeah.
I don't think he's done much wrong. His pedigree is absolutely perfect. There's a lot to like, actually, at a price. You know, I'd definitely be preferring the likes of the Officer to Cosmic Year. Again, I just like, I've seen him in the flesh. He's a nice horse. He'll be his third run of the season as well. Aidan, he'll be hard fit for that. Do you know what I mean? He'll be really ready to roll. I like that. And whereas, you know, I know Field of Gold or Cosmic Year has been brought on nicely, but like, you know, some of his... He's won very easily at the start of the year in Kempton and that, but like that's very, you couldn't read too much into that. It's almost a bit of work. Like,
bit of money as we record this for Scorthy Champ, who beat Henri Matisse to win the National Stakes over 7 furlongs at the course last year. And we know Henri Matisse won the French Guineas, but only 7th at Newmarket.
He wasn't done back that day. He wasn't done back.
Yeah, he's fancied, wasn't he?
He definitely was a little bit fancied. So yeah, he'll have to bounce back. You'd imagine if there was some sort of issue, Joseph would have found it. But yeah, he'll strip fitter for it. Look, I suppose, are we really just making excuses for other horses
when
the favourite's going to win? Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the thing, isn't it? Like, maybe he's overpriced, and they can't all be overpriced. So maybe it's just Field of Gold should win this. He's the best horse with the best form, who is very unlucky in the best possible trial for this race. He has the best jockey possibly in the race. And yeah, like, he's bred to win it. He's come here to go and do a job. You know, it's very difficult to look past him.
So the 1,000 Guineas on Sunday at the Curragh is the fillies race. Same situation when over a mile. 12 runners for this one now. And this is a lot to me about Lake Victoria. She's a top-rated horse. She was unbeaten as a juvenile, including a Group 1 win at the Curragh over 7 furlongs. Then she went to the Breeders' Cup and won over a mile, but only 6th in the Newmarket Guineas. But if one wants to think of City of Troy last year in the 2,000 Guineas at Newmarket, then ended up winning the Derby. If you can put a line through that, surely she's the one to beat if she can show her best.
Yeah, I don't even think you have to put too much of a line through it. She travelled quite strongly and strike well for a long way and then just kind of maybe blew up a bit and ran on, you know. And it's not like Ryan went and picked up a stick and flaked her for the last, you know, for a long. He obviously said, all right, this fit is not absolutely 100% today. She was an absolutely brilliant two-year-old. There's always a slight concern that they haven't trained on fully, particularly when they've had as busy a season as she did.
So we still don't know that fully yet.
We don't know that fully yet, but I would certainly not ride her off on the back of that run.
Is she worthy favourite?
That's questionable. Look, she has the most, she's the best body of work. So she should be favoured. She's short enough now at 6-5. But she is the best horse in the race. And, you know, the likes of, you know, Fallen Angel, who had a very busy two-year-old career as well. And, you know, she didn't fire at Newmarket and then came out and fired at the Curra. So I wouldn't be surprised if Lady Victoria wins it. But at 6-5, I wouldn't be going. Like her at 6-5 versus Field of Gold at even money, you know.
You prefer Field of Gold.
Absolutely prefer Field of Gold.
Flight is a horse I was really taken with at Newmarket. She ran a lovely race, I thought, with Oisin Murphy, second behind Desert Flower. I'd like to think she's got more to give. The only question I have, is she better maybe over 7 furlongs? But I think Flight was the one I picked out of all the trials.
Yeah. And she, you know, she ran a really nice race that day as well. You know, sort of very much under the radar. You know, it's the one thing, like, well, you didn't back her at 28-1, 33-1 in the 1,000 guineas at Newmarket. You're going to go back in again at 5-1 today. Look, we obviously know more now, but you're just always worried a horse like that, or maybe are they slightly, you know, flattering to deceive. There's a couple of really interesting ones.
What about Swelter?
Swelter, like the three really, obviously the ones with massive potential, Swelter, Paddy Toomey's horse, City of Memphis, and also Atsila for Dunica. Atsila was very, very impressive, beating Circine and Barnavara in the Curra the last day, when obviously unfancied. So, like, she's nearly a similar price for this race as she was for the previous race of the Curra. Swelter is the one, just as well. Dermot Weld has such a brilliant recent record in this race. And to my eye, he actually has a pretty decent team of three-year-old fillies this year. You know, he's won it with the likes of Tahira and Homeless Songs very recent years. So I think she's an outstanding chance. Yeah, and at sort of 9-2, I think she's probably the bet in the race as well.
And then we also have in this one, just looking through them, Simmering, consistent, but a bit defined on the others. Dermot Weld thinks Welter's a 10-furlong horse, which was an interesting comment that I picked up on. I like Flight. I like Flight in this one. Each way would be my selection. Flight.
Yeah, of all those kind of bigger price ones that I wouldn't mind seeing, sort of like it depends what way she's ridden, but like January is the sort of other Aidan O'Brien runner, and you know she's excellent 2-year-old form. She's second to Desert Flower twice. Looked like she was going to beat Desert Flower one of the days, and then was kicked out of the way the other. She was a very above average 2-year-old, and she's a big old price. I think she's the kind of, you know, on the day in these races, like, you know, you might get someone silly enough to go an extra place or something like that. She might end up in a third or fourth. If she's not, you know, if she's just ridden her own race, I don't think there's any kind of point to really worry about what Lake Victoria does, or there's enough fillies in here where you think this is not going to be a crawl. You know what I mean? I just don't think that's going to happen. So I doubt January would be completely sacrificed. But even if she did go on the front and then steadied up, she looks like she has a bit of, you know, she has a bit of stamina about her. So just think January might be worth maybe a place or something like that close to time. But Swelter would be the main bet for me.
The other bet we're going to look at the moment is the Tattersall's Gold Cup, the Group 1 on
what
Sunday.
What a field this is.
3:05, a 1 mile, 2.5 furlongs, 9 runners. It's got like an Irish Derby winner there, Los Angeles. White Birch won the race last year. You've Ghost Riders, consistent type. Anmash is a horse that won the Champion Stakes at Ascot last October at 40-1. So a lot of good horses. Kaplana is a good filly. So what are you liking?
I actually cannot believe the price bet. Anmash. Owen Burrows is a man who's well able to get his horses ready first time out. But look, aside from that, I just love seeing a proper Group 1. Like, this is a deep Group 1. We're going 11-4 the field. You got Los Angeles in last year's winner, White Birch. Obviously, they clashed last time out in the Moorfield Stakes. You got Kalpana in there around about 7-2. Like, that's a proper betting heat, isn't it? It's what you want to see. You know, you can go, you can have an opinion, you get paid 3 places because you got 9 runners. But yeah, I do like Anmash. Look, there's a slight concern that maybe he is...
Matt Sharp or not?
Yeah, and the slight concern would be the ground as well. But there might be a bit of... there might be a bit of rain between now and then. But I mean, like, it's such a good race. You got the unbeaten Kalpana, like Kalpana, who just was so good last year, the filly, you know, sorry, has won, the five-time winner, won the last three in a row. Again, slight concern that she does prefer it soft. White Birch, does he prefer it slightly softer?
I think the ground is an issue for him. Los Angeles, I can't work out. Los Angeles, to me, is a 12 furlong horse, not a 10 furlong horse. Hard to catch right. Won the Irish Derby, placed in the Ark, and then won last time out, beat White Birch. One would imagine Ryan Moore is going to go out in front and try and use stamina as the key here.
Yeah. Joseph's horse, Galen, set it up for him really the last day. Galen had gone and won from the front previously. And so he just ensured then Ryan Moore had a really good pace to run at. So I'd be intrigued to see what happens next time. I mean, did his sacrifice continues? Is a recognised stayer? He could go out and make sure it's a full gallop as well. But yeah, Los Angeles is hard to catch right, but at 11-4, I'd be nearly willing to have a chance. He's a huge, he's a lovely big horse who needs a run. I mean, if you are at the Kerr at the weekend, just go down and look at this horse in the parade ring. He's the guts of 17 hands. He's a huge, big, dark bay by Camelot, real typical of the sire, the most beautiful looking horse. So even if you just go down to the Kerr to look at him, and he will strip fitter today than he did the last day, but I think he's worth the bet. Him and Anmat are the two.
Okay,
for me.
Free to air selection. I'm going to go for Flight 5-1 each way in the 1,000 guineas on Sunday. What are you going for?
I'll just go for Field of Gold in the 2,000 guineas.
Just to keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
Let's just win the race here. Yeah. Win the race on Guineas Weekend. This is the Race and Pod and Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including the other kind of races we're going to look at the Curragh on Saturday and Sunday, Hulls of Haydock on Saturday, and Tom's charity bet, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full pod with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
At Breezeline, great connections come in pairs. Switch to fast fiber-powered internet for just $19.99 per month and get a free line for a year when you pair with Mobile. It's the perfect pair for the perfect price. Get the reliability you need and the value you want. Enjoy fast speeds for work or play. Connect at home or on the go and save every month. Don't miss this special offer on internet and mobile. Visit breezeline.com today.